Hey, Mark.
Hey, Katie.
Hey, you want to do a podcast?
Yeah.
Sweet. Okay. Welcome to the Unforget Yourself show, where we use the power of woo and the proof of science to help you identify your blind spots, get over your own bullshit, so that you can do the fucking thing you actually want to do.
Absolutely. I'm Mark.
And I'm Katie.
And we're the founders of Unforget Yourself and the creators of the Unforget Yourself system. Look, being a business owner is tough.
Yeah.
With vulnerability and with humor, mm-hmm. we'll be sharing with you the real stories behind the success of those brave and crazy enough to start their own business. And to show you that you're not alone.
You're not. Well, from the accidental entrepreneur to the laser-focused CEO, we have honest conversations about how they got to where they are today. We talk about the challenges that they faced and what they're currently dealing with in real time on their roller coaster journey. Along the way, we want to show you that it's you. You are the most important asset in your business.
Yeah, you are. So let's cut the bullshit and start the show.
Enjoy.
Okay, hello everyone and welcome to the show. Now, just a quick interruption to your normally scheduled podcast. Are you thinking about starting your own podcast? Or maybe you have a podcast, but it's an expensive hobby or a labor of love. But what if a podcast wasn't just a podcast? Imagine turning your ideas, your skills, and your gift into a profitable business tool. At Profitable Podcasts, we help coaches and entrepreneurs to create, launch, and monetize their podcasts with ease, to build visibility and authority, and attract leads and clients easily and simply by giving value and being yourself. So skip the overwhelm and the never-ending social media, emails, workshops, networking, and attract your perfect clients, and all without spending a thing on ads. So if you're ready to make your voice your most powerful asset, let's talk. Reach out or head over to profitablepodcast.com to see how this will work for you. And now, on to your scheduled podcast episode. So today we have with us Claire Roberts-Molloy, founder of It's Never Too Late podcast and a midlife mindset coach who helps women over 40 rediscover purpose and create fulfilling lives aligned with their dreams. Through her one-on-one coaching programs, group coaching programs, and workshops, Claire empowers clients to overcome limiting beliefs and embrace transformation. Her approach combines mindset work with practical strategies to help women prioritize their own growth. Now, Claire's achievements since turning 40, including completing a marathon, earning an MBA, while founding multiple organizations, demonstrates her belief that midlife is a time for expansion. And as the founder of Periods Matter charity and TEDx Wolverhampton, while raising three children, her story proves it's never too late to create meaningful impact. Hell yes. Claire and fellow Brits, welcome to the show.
Welcome, Mark. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. Well, look, thank you so much for joining us. So to kind of kick us off, can you expand just a touch more on where you are today with your business and who is it that you'd love to work with?
Yeah, it's always interesting hearing yourself introduced, isn't it? When someone lists out all those things, it always, it always makes me smile because it has been quite a journey. So where am I with my business now? So I have a business, and as you've heard, I have lots of what I call my passion projects as well. So my business is my midlife mindset coaching. That's my main business currently. And I'm currently transitioning away from another business that I had, which was great. And it built on my professional background for the past couple of decades, but it wasn't where my heart truly lay. And so I'm now making that full transition into my coaching practice, which feels much more in alignment with my values and where I want to be and what really lights me up.
Nice. Well, I think we'll talk about that sort of that transition a little bit later. But first of all, just tell me about those women that you help, those that seek you out. What is it they're looking for? What do they want? Maybe not what they know that they need, but what do they think they want?
Well, I think usually they're not quite sure what they want, and that's one of the reasons they come to me. I think the women I work with tend to have either be approaching 40 or going or in their 40s, sometimes in their 50s, but usually in their 40s. And they've got to that point in their life where they've raised families. Maybe they're starting to face that empty nest as their kids grow and start to leave home. They might have got to a point in their career And they're looking around them and going, is this it? Is this my life? Surely there's got to be more than this. But sometimes they don't know what that looks like, and so they come to me and we work together to define what that looked like and to gain some clarity on that. And one of the things I really love working with is unpacking what I call those lingering dreams, those ambitions, those aspirations that we may have had in our youth, but we say one day I'll do that. And facing 40, maybe even facing 50. And then we believe, or we limit our beliefs by thinking, oh, maybe it's too late for me to do that thing. So I love working with women to unpack that and show them that it's never too late.
So there's with that, before we get to the unpacking, that question, is this it? That, can you just talk me through how you guide these women through this moment? Because you're right, as a mom, as a partner, as a business owner, employee, there's so many hats that we all wear, and we can put ourselves, we put ourselves last, we put everyone else first through. We try the best. It's maybe it's a bit of a martyr syndrome, but also we feel it's the right thing to do, but we lose ourselves along the way. I mean, Crumbs, you're on the
Absolutely.
Unforget Yourself show. Unforget yourself. Remember you. But we that and I remember going through this when someone asked me, "What do you like to do?" And I was like, "I don't know anymore." And it felt there was guilt, there was frustration, there was confusion, there was embarrassment. So how do you help these women to be able to maybe acknowledge that and help them put that aside so you can answer that glorious question, what is it that you want? Who are you?
Well, I mean, there are a number of ways that we get there. Sometimes it is going back and saying, well, what was it that you wanted to do? However silly it might sound to you now, what was it that you wanted to do? Or well, what did you really enjoy doing before you grew up, basically, before you had to adult? What was it that you enjoyed doing? Or what were your ambitions back then? But also, I run through a number of exercises with clients to, and it can sound quite morbid, but we take them to sort of the end of their life and looking back. And what is it that they would regret not achieving? Or what legacy would they like to leave? Or what would they like to be known for? And we do some exploration around that. I also love the kind of exercises where we write letters to our past and future selves. And you know, there's always that quite standard exercise of writing your what would your perfect day look like if nothing was limiting you whatsoever, if money wasn't a factor, if time wasn't a factor, if you didn't care what anyone thought, you know, letting go of all of that, how would you create your own life from that point of view?
That exercise that changed my life, multiple ways. But I mean, people call it, there's the perfect day, the vivid vision. There's lots of different versions of this. What I found was, and the thing that stood out for me was, one, it was uncomfortable to acknowledge or play with what I truly did want. But the second thing was, once my coach at the time was reading this, and he turned around and picked out a few things. And one, and maybe you can expand on this sort of concept, one was I meditate on my big brown leather chair as part of that. And he's like, "Mark, where is that chair?" I was like, I didn't have it." So like, "You haven't you, the chair that you want, you haven't got, correct? Mark, can you afford it?" "Yes." "Cool. There's something that you want that you could afford and could get, but you've chosen not to." And that moment for me was like, "Oh, I'm actually choosing not to have elements of my perfect day." That for me was, that was a shift. When so how do you help people to, it's not just the big grand, I live on the beach and in a mountain, da da da.
No, it is. No, you're so right. It is that. And I remember years ago working with a coach and doing a similar exercise, and it was something really simple. So I sat down to visualize and write out my perfect day. And I wrote about my morning routine, and I wrote about what I had for breakfast. And she said to me, she said, well, what's your morning routine now? And so I told her, and she said, well, why aren't you doing that morning routine? And what do you have for breakfast now compared to what you've put in your perfect day? And she said, But what's stopping you having that breakfast now? And there wasn't a reason other than my mindset telling me
Yeah.
that it was an aspirational breakfast.
Mm.
It wasn't anything fancy. I wasn't saying I want caviar at the Ritz every morning or anything like that. It was just a mindset shift to go from having cereal or toast to having something much healthier. And I thought, like yourself, like you said, I am getting in my own way. There are parts of my perfect day or the life that I'm visualizing that I can implement right now, but I'm choosing not to. And it is really powerful.
So for me, the perfect day as it is, great exercise, but the parts of that is why it works so well. Let's get under the hood. Let's lift up the hood and be like, cool, it's awareness and it's choice. So as long we need to be aware of who we are, what we like, maybe even what we don't like, and that's a good start. Be aware of the choices we're making. And then from that place, we've now got another choice. It's up to us. So I think you find the ingredients of this. So selfishly for you, when you see your women go through this, make those realizations. Maybe it's things they've never seen before. It might be things that they've seen but pushed aside for whatever reason. Once you start to see them make those changes, selfishly, what's that like for you? What do you see?
Oh, I think that feeling is one of the and if you're a coach, you'll get this. I think there is that selfish element of just loving to see people like get out of that the chrysalis. It's like becoming that butterfly, isn't it?
Yeah.
And spreading their wings. And they go through that transformation and that metamorphosis right before your eyes. And seeing them flourish is it is you do feel really proud. I always say you kind of get that proud mother moment at seeing your clients flourish and go out there and achieve. And if you've knowing I've played a small part in that, obviously they're doing the work themselves. As you say, they've got that choice. They can do the work or not do the work. But knowing that I've been part of that journey, is incredibly fulfilling.
Okay, so is this one of the reasons, because you said before, and I said we'll come back to it, your transition. So, shutting down one business, a profitable, a great business for you, but now so we all have transitions. I mean, we've transitioned our business. I've transitioned 4,000 miles and I live in Michigan. These things happen. We change, life changes, our business changes. So what were the reasons that you were like, yes, this coaching practice, this is what I want to do now. This is how I'm gonna make an impact. What made your mind up?
Well, I believe we evolve all the time. So I think, if we're not evolving, then what are we doing with our lives? If we're not learning, if we're not making changes, if we're not moving forwards. And I remember last year just thinking, what does light me up? Where do I get that feeling of fulfillment, of energy? What energizes me? And I realized it was when I'm working one-on-one with a woman or a client. I do work with some men as well. Some men do seek me out. And I found that my happy place was doing that work, supporting people on their journey, and also being in front or in rooms with groups of women. And doing that work as well. So whether that's delivering workshops or running group coaching or facilitating, some kind of event, whatever it is, I found that that was where I found my fulfillment. That's where I got my energy from. And again, going back to that exercise, I'm like, well, if that's where I get my energy from, and that's where I get my fulfillment from, why am I not focusing on doing that? And it was that realization. I feel, I could do the other work and I can do the other business. I've done it for so long, but it wasn't lighting me up anymore.
That moment, what, because it's different for everyone. What was that moment of like, what was the excuse or the justification, whether it's emotional or logical? What maybe almost kept you there, or what kept you there for maybe longer than you could have done?
Finance. I think when you've got a reliable source of income and you've got a business that's established, and you know what that looks like month on month. And I'd got to a point where all of my clients came through word of mouth recommendations. It was easy for me to get those clients. I think the fear point is then going through that transformation and not quite knowing what it might look like. And I'm still going through that transformation. So personally, I've got gained so much clarity, feel like I'm really in alignment with my values and with the work I want to do. Is it easy? No. I'm transitioning from a really established client base to establishing a new client base. And of course, that is messy and complex and, you know, gritty and all of those things.
Yeah, but what I love about this is you're going first. So this experience you're going through right now, it's only going to further help you as a coach and a mentor of other people who are going to be doing similar, whether it's personal, relationship, health, business, these challenges. It's almost like you were thrust into this because this is the learning curve that you need to have. This is even more experiences, good and bad, that you can bring to the table and further help your women and those men that came to you. So this is your energy, this is your fulfillment, this is your happy place, this is the work you get to do. You've seen results, you help so many people. But to make that shift away from that perceived safety, the perceived security. I mean, every time I hear word of mouth and referrals and recommendations, I remember my old business back in the UK before I moved to America. User experience, design, marketing, it was fantastic. All through word of mouth, all through referrals. And I lied to myself for ages saying, it's the best way to get clients. And it is. It's the easiest. It is not scalable and it's not consistent. So,
and it's out of your control in a way. You're putting your success in someone else's hands, aren't you?
So, control, let's go to that rabbit hole. So with that control, now you're taking back control, because we could argue even like a full-time job and in entrepreneurship, it's only perceived security. You can be let go within 5 days, 2 weeks notice. There's no actual security. We just perceive it. So now you're taking control of what brings you happiness, the results that you give to people, ultimately taking control of, yes, you've got to learn a new way of marketing. You've got to learn a new way of reaching more people. And that's scary. And that's enough to hold most people back. This feels unknown. There's only a few ways that you can actually do this. So it's simpler than you think. Okay, here we go. So you talked about alignment and clarity. So let's keep going that way. What do you love to do? What is it about this business? If you could do more of it and it grows your business, what would that be?
So I love working one-on-one, but obviously that limits, you're only working with one person. You might create great impact for that one person, but I want to scale that. Last week I ran an event for about 70 women, and I was on stage and I invited other people to share that stage with me, to share their journeys, to share their wisdom, to share some of my own journey and learnings. And the energy that created in that room was absolutely fantastic. And I'd love to do more of that. So I love working one-on-one, but I'd love to do a lot more group work as well, a lot more events. Events are one of those interesting things. I've been running events and organising events for probably about 30 years. But I've never called myself an event organizer, which is interesting, but I organize lots and lots of events. And I've always wondered why. I always thought that's an interesting question to ask myself. Why do I do it, but don't actually ever think I'm, you know, label myself event organizer. But I would love to do more of that, I think, more consistently. I've seen lots of other coaches who've brought that model in, where they do a lot more event-based work. So they can impact more people and scale on a bit, you know, on a larger stage. I think I'd love to do more of that.
Yeah. So I think the one thread through all that is impact. You like the clear and just direct impact of one-on-one, but you want the more impact of group, the events, the energy to impact those on stage, to impact those in the audience. There is crumbs. There's a ripple effect going with this.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So what is it that you're most looking forward to? Because in this transition, yes, it can be scary. We talked about like the marketing, the transition, obviously the branding, the business, things need tweaking, things need changing. But if we can look past the nuts and bolts and logistics that you're kind of putting together, what's the most exciting thing for you?
So a couple of things. I think one of my biggest values is freedom in all elements. So that's freedom to be me, freedom to travel, freedom of time, freedom of money, all of those things. But freedom to build a life for myself. And I think the other thing that really excites me is, and you spoke about this slightly earlier, Mark, was being an example to people that they can do it too. As we were chatting before the podcast, I wrote a post just yesterday on how I've changed my life, how I've reinvented my life. And I started to take steps to do that when I was 39, because I was in a situation I didn't want to be in. And I knew I had to make a change, however scary that was. So I think, yeah, I've probably been going through this evolution and this transformation now for nearly a decade, just shy of a decade. And I don't think I'll ever stop. And I think that's also really exciting. It's what's next. I always pick a word for the year, and my word for this year is elevate. So it's about elevating who I am, what platforms I'm on, the work I do, the impact I have. And obviously it'd be lovely to elevate, my family life and the kind of things that we can enjoy and the holidays we can go on and all of those kind of things as well. So really exciting thing for me is to see where that this transformation and this transition keeps taking me, and I like to always ask what's possible.
Yeah, what's possible? What's next? And so some people have this their plan all listed out. Other people, it's more sort of fluid. And I love what you said about this. It doesn't end. It doesn't change. There's not a one and done. I mean, crumbs. A decade ago, I wish I would have been like, this mindset work. Surely I found the right principle, the right meditation, and then I'm done for life. There must be an answer. Well, it's just like for business, when you do like offer work or even avatar work, the damn client avatar keeps changing. I thought once you've done this, it's the same. Society changes, you change, your offering changes. What you're going through right now is going to change what you offer in the future. So it's if we can have that calm, which is, yeah, there is always evolution, it is always changing. So from that place, you get to craft your route through the unknown, the wilderness, but it's from a place of, as you said, elevate. It's the freedom, it's the joy, it's the, what did you say earlier? Energy, fulfillment, and happiness. Is that the point? And you get to help people with this with the work that you do. So how beautiful is that?
I say to my children all the time, they're in their late teens, early 20s now. And I'll say, oh, you must be so excited. And they were like, what do you mean? I said, because you've got your whole life ahead of you and you get to design what that looks like. And I think too often society tells us that our life must look a certain way. You've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to do the other. But what I've tried to instill into my children is that actually they have the freedom of choice, and they can be the author of their own story. And hopefully the superhero of their own story as well.
Yes, I love that. So I was going to wrap up with maybe one of the biggest bits of advice that you've had. I think you answered that question without me even asking it. That, yeah, what the best advice you can give someone, regardless of their situation, it sounds like it is to have that acknowledgement, to have that understanding that, I mean, kids don't know. I mean, we need to make our own mistakes. As a teenager, as I wouldn't listen to a damn word I was told. You have to make the mistakes and realize, oh yeah, that's hot. Don't touch it. Or whatever lesson you have to learn. So to have that guidance, I guess you have to give that with the grace of take it to the bank or take out the back and shoot it. It's your choice. Everything is a choice. So is that the one takeaway that you feel has been the biggest lesson?
Yeah, I think for myself, along the journey that I've been on, it has that's been one of the biggest lessons for me. I think knowing that I have got the choice and that we can craft and create life as we want it. And even if we are over 40 and maybe we've got a few more wrinkles and maybe our joints ache a little bit more and
No idea what you mean.
No idea at all. And we creak a little bit when we get to, when we get out of the chair or out of bed and, you start to make those all noises, because your back's a bit achy and all of that. It doesn't matter because we can still do things. It might look slightly differently than when we were 20, but we can still do the things. So that's, yeah, those two things. One, we have the choice to create and craft our lives, and it's never too late to achieve our dreams.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I wish you all the best as you craft and create this new life and help so many more people with their transitions. Thanks to yours. So, Claire, look, thank you so much for being here. This has been so much fun.
It's been wonderful, Mark. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you.
You're welcome. And look, for those people who want to know more about you and the amazing work that you do, how can they reach out? How can they find you?
Yeah, so you can visit clairerobertsmalloy.com and there you can find out all about me, all about different ways of working with me, and you can also find and listen to my podcast as well called It's Never Too Late.
Fantastic. Well, everyone, if you're curious, jump on over, have a little listen, or check out the website and start a conversation. But again, Claire, thank you so much. This has been, an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome. Hey, Katie.
Yeah, Mark.
Want to do an outro?
I sure do.
Sweet. Hey, thank you so much for listening and making it to the end.
Yay, you.
So, what happens next?
We ask them the things that podcasters are supposed to ask at the end of an episode.
Can you please rate, review, download?
Subscribe. Yeah.
But why is it important?
Because that's how our podcast gets noticed.
It's how people find us.
It is, and we want all their earballs.
All the earballs all over the place.
We do.
Nice.
Yeah, so please do all those things. We'll be ever so grateful.
And then more people hear your beautiful voice.
Or yours.
See you next time.
Bye.